don't you tell me a little more about Judy?
Judy is very happily married, and this is a beautiful family situation. They really enjoy doing things together. Robert is a philosopher. He's also a PhD. Judy has a master's and was on her way to a second master's when she had her second child and decided it wasn't very important. She now teaches retarded children. And they have their Friday night services, and as I told you before, they are moving to Silver Spring so that they can be good school. What they feel is very important. When Robert taught at St. John's College, they met there. This is, you know, the second oldest college in the United States, and it's very liberal arts. Master Oxford. When Robert was teaching there, he used to come home for lunch by choice because he wanted to be with Judy and the boys. They do things together. They take the trouble to talk to their children, to find out what really makes them tick, and it's a beautiful thing.
Tell me all the places that you live, please, Mary.
You know, I haven't lived in many houses. I just moved into this apartment, this landmark apartment, in July. And I lived in one house in Beaver, and let's see, 11 years old when I moved. Then we lived in that 14-room house on Shady Avenue until I was 10. And let's see, I was 28. Then we lived in a little house, a row house. They call them townhouses now. They were row houses then on Woodmont Street near Negley. And we painted it and fixed it up ourselves and lived there until we got through it. Then we lived on Barrow Street near the Wilkinson entrance. And that was 37 years.
How many years did you live?
This was a big wrench when I moved from my house into this apartment.
How many years did you live on Woodmont Street?
That was about 2 or 3 years.
What kind of a social life did you have when you were married? What did you do?
Oh, we started out playing bridge. Then somehow or other we got bored with it. We did a lot of travel. We didn't especially enjoy huge parties. We did a lot of entertainment, but it was always a project. When we had a party, it had a theme, and we spent a great length to do the house over. One New Year's Eve, we brought in props from the country. We just bought a house that looked like Tobacco Road, and we brought the kerosene lamps in, and we had a mirror over our dining room table, and whenever we had a party, I did a mural on paper for that. This was a view out of the window of the bleak winter mountain view from our house in the country, and it was like a Tobacco Road party.
Where was your house in the country?
On Laurel Ridge, 55 miles east of.
How many years did you have that?
15 years. Another year we had a party that was with a group. We had close friends, but not a big circle of friends. And we had a cooperative party that was, we were setting ourselves up as a training for a group of people from Pittsburgh who were going to Europe together. And we set ourselves up as experienced travelers, and we were showing them how to do it. And what we did was we had a dinner party, which was supposed to be a dinner at the Tour d'Argent. And the view out the window on the mirror there was the old dog pizza. And another time it was, we did all that.
You said that you traveled a lot. Were they with your children?
We took the children to Mexico one year, and they were necessitated being wrenched away from Pittsburgh, and they didn't want to go in the first place. We realized later that a lot of them sank, yeah, but they were kind of busy. They were at that age where they didn't want to do things for their parents, and we weren't smart enough to realize it. So it seemed at the time that it wasn't.
Did you have many family detention?
No, the children went to camp. And looking back on it, I'm so sorry because I see what you and Robert are doing with their children. They're enjoying it together. And, Jim was always the best everywhere. He was the best camper at the Poconos. They both went to camp. We went to a waste. What's the name of that camp?
I know you have many hobbies. Do you want to tell us about them?
Well, music first. And art. And they were more than hobbies, though. Music. Was not athletic. I remember Dick asked me to go skating and I was fine. And he left the car on the way and I was so glad because I didn't have to go skating. I was not athletic.
Do you see much difference in neighborhoods?
You know, it's funny, I'm back in my old bailiwick.
I was asking you about the neighborhood.
I'm back at my old bailiwick. Shady Avenue was near Fifth, and Alder Court Apartments is just below Fifth, four short blocks. And I'm just off of Shady. I don't know,
but you see much change.
I must have been attracted to this neighborhood.
You see much change in the neighborhood.
Well, the house on Shady Avenue has been improved. It used to be a row of houses with porches, and it's one of those neighborhoods that has improved. We took the porch off, and then everybody else took the porch off, and it's very nice now. This neighborhood, I'm on the fringe of Shady Side here, and you know what's happened to Shady Side. It's restored and become the end place to live.
You want to tell me a little more about your traveling?
Dick and I started traveling as soon as we were married, and I guess we never had a lot of money, but we always managed to travel. It was important to us to enjoy it. We started by going to Mexico several times, and then we went to Europe. We used to spend 1 month at a time in eight countries. First Italy, next Spain, the romantic tour of Germany, France. We did it in depth, the last 10 years of our life together, we went around the world twice. We liked India, and we were tantalized by them. We went there twice. We went to Japan twice, second time we did twice. We received foreign visitors in our home. In fact, I have one coming to see me stay overnight. He already calls me Mom. He's a friend of Machua and Sean, two Indians, who lived with us, and they have become like our sons and daughters. And this young man is bringing his family to Pittsburgh, and he got in touch with me about a month ago, and I helped him find a house, and he's already calling me Mom.
How did you meet him?
We started with a foreign student through Pittsburgh Council for International Visitors, But we were talking about travel, and when we did travel, we visited Montjuic, Paris, and India, and Champs, Paris, and India. I was chairman of the Experiment in International Living in Pittsburgh. 3 different years we had a French experimenter. I felt that it would be good for Jim because he couldn't see anything good in Pittsburgh, and he didn't have many friends here. And I thought if he is going to really appreciate to show a French student who is almost just a little older than he is, Pittsburgh, he has to know Pittsburgh. And he would meet other Pittsburghers who were interested in this kind of thing. So it was a real turning point in his life. And then we had 3 different French boys for him. And at that point, he was great at boarding. And he then went to France. In Japan, the second time he went, he stopped to visit a family who was the parent of a Japanese scientist. And he brought his wife and his baby with him. I sort of found a place for them to live, and I was sort of grandmother. It's a big family of all nationalities.
What organization have you been interested in?
I was president of the Society of Sculptors, and I was on the board of the Arts and Crafts Center. I've gone back on the board of the center. I'm a vice president there. I was exhibition chairman and during the formative years of the gallery. Associated Artists, I was an officer and did public relations for them. I was very active in the Three Rivers Arts Festival. I initiated children. I started to tell you when the phone rang that I started the children's section at the Arts Festival. They thought they might like to have a children's exhibition, and at that time I was the art consultant for the daycare and head start program for public schools here, and I said, oh, let me do it, I'd love to do something for children. And then I started thinking about it, and I thought, we don't want just an exhibition for children, we need a place where children can come and be a part of the festival. So I started a place where they could come and splash with paint and play with clay, and they could interpret music. And I got some of my colleagues, Judy Rubin, who did preventive work at the Child Guidance Center, was co-chairman with me, and we worked up a marvelous program. It was very creative. And that was the beginning of that session, and we did it for 2 years.
When was it? Do you remember the year?
Oh, about 5 years.
I'd like to know a little bit more about Experiment in International Living.
Yes.
And your involvement in it.
Yes, so that's a very marvelous program. It was started, must be 50 years ago, by a man who felt that the way to create understanding between different people, different countries, different civilizations was to live together and to try in a home. So he had a German connection, and he brought a group of Germans to this country. It was just before the Second World War. That would be about 50. It was less than 50. And he had the German young people come to this country and live in a home, and it did indeed create close relationships. Then he and a group of others went to Germany and lived in Holland. And that's how the experiment in international living started. So it grew and grew, and he gave them property in Putney, Vermont, where they had a center, and it's become a tremendous thing. It's not just for students. It's not just a summer program. Adults go to foreign countries on it and are received here. Now in Pittsburgh, I remember meeting with the executive director of Pittsburgh Castle for International Visitors and telling her to go to the Junior League. I had the Junior League working for me at Pittsburgh Clinic for Arts, and they are very supportive. So she made contact with them on my suggestion, and they started the Pittsburgh liaison with the experiment, and they took over the experiment so that I no longer was.
Were you the original chairman of the Experiment in International Living in Pittsburgh?
No, Marty Hamburger actually got up at the chairman. I don't know whether he was the chairman. It had been operating here, and Marty asked us if we would take a French boy, and we did, and then the next year I did that.
Were you ever involved in politics?
Not until just recently, when Katie Flaherty, the county commissioner's wife, came to me and said, I would like to start a gallery, an art gallery at the courthouse. And I said, you don't want just another gallery. You want something that can help out, a place where government and governed can meet. And so we developed the idea of the Courthouse Gallery Forum. And the forum idea was that it would be almost like a Roman forum where people met and talked about things. And in the forum, you know, the Roman forum, physical features of the forum, they used to have performances and music, and this is the way I see the Courthouse Gallery Forum. It's a gallery and a meeting place, and we have symposia related to the gallery. We had a Bridges exhibition, and we had a discussion on the problem of bridge maintenance. PennDOT and the County Works Department had a discussion. We had a slide talk. We had a poetry reading. A man from Pitt came and read the Huck Crane's poem about the Brooklyn Bridge. A little art exhibition in with the exhibition that showed the bridges of North America and the bridges of Pittsburgh, and a big map that showed what are the problems of maintenance, what it costs to maintain these bridges and rebuild them.
Did you do this as a volunteer? Or
yes, I'm a volunteer.
Well, everything that's out there,
The first show was 15 ethnic groups and their holiday observations. Christmas, Christian Christmas, Byzantine Christmas, Jewish Hanukkah, Chinese New Year's. And while these exhibitions were up, the Jewish section, the Israeli section, had menorahs, beautiful menorahs, and the little pots that the children skin. And we had Israeli dancers came, and we had Israeli music, and they served little potato pancakes.
It's all
in the gallery.
And the gallery is in
on
the
a Monday at noon.
And the gallery is in the court?
Well, that's a beautiful building. It's Richardson's masterpiece. Henry Thompson Richardson built it in 1886. It was completed.
What?
The courthouse. The county courthouse. And
What floor do they have?
It's on the first floor. And Pittsburghers, many of them don't appreciate that building, but Richardson considered it his masterpiece. And he had a great influence on probably Frank Floyd Wright and all the Sullivan and all the architects who followed. So that this masterpiece, we have just found the original drawings, 150 of them, and the original renderings of the competing architects who also were after the job of designing the courthouse. So we are preparing now, the American Institute of Architects is sponsoring an exhibition of the drawings of Richard Benjamin J.P. in the courthouse.
Do you remember anything about the Depression?
As I said before, it didn't mean a lot to me. We had enough to eat. It meant that I had teach to go to New York to study. But I think my family would have wanted me to earn my way anyway. That's part of my family. It meant that Dick and I couldn't be married, but that turned out to be a good thing.
Remember the war?
The First World War, I remember, I was just a little tot in Beaver. I remember very vividly standing under a street light at just after dark with some of my little friends, and we were talking about what war is, and we were told that we had to clean our place off because the Armenians were starving and we must wait food. We knew that, my Italian cousins were stranded in this country because my uncle, Italian uncle, my mother's side, came here to buy lumber for to make airplanes for the Italian government. And they were stranded because in those days you couldn't fly and there was submarine warfare. So they were here a couple of years, and so I did them something. I heard from them last night. The Second War, we were down in Chesapeake Bay, Dick and I, sailing with my uncle, and we had a radio, and we heard Churchill talk about the war, and we realized that we were becoming involved. Well, that was later. I remember distinctly on a radio on a Sunday, Pearl Harbor. We couldn't believe our ears. We had no idea what this meant. Pearl Harbor had been bombed, and it meant war. And we sort of, something gripped us in our stomach. We were sort of paralyzed for a minute. That was a bit of memory. And then later it was that we heard Churchill and realized that we were becoming involved in the European war. No, first it was the European war, then it was.
Do you remember anything else about the war besides what you were doing?
I was a canteen worker during the war. I trained at Alderdyke High School to cook big vats of food. I never served it, but I learned how to do it. Dick was just over age for the Army, and he was an air warden, of course, and he also took a course in navigation.
What did
he
they
never
do?
Used it, but he did go out as an air board.
Did they use the canteen after you learned to make it?
We were supposed to go to the station, I guess, and serve the soldiers. I never did. I knew how to do it. And mostly it was training on how to conserve food and get a lot of good vitamins into our stomachs without using too much. I remember the race.
Remember much about the Prohibition thing?
Yeah, because we used to go to speakeasy.
What is a speakeasy?
Well, it was a place where you could get a drink behind a lot. It was a private club, and you'd go and you'd knock on the door, or you'd have a key to it, and you'd go in and you'd drink your bathtub gin. You couldn't buy a drink in a public place because it was a bad, bad thing for a bit because everybody went to speakeasies and crime develop because there were some questions.
Do you want to tell me something about your professional life? Not volunteer work, but...
Well, it started with volunteer work. I know some professional PR people who kind of resent me because I've done big jobs, like I publicized the Pittsburgh International Exhibition at Carnegie Institute. I was not paid as much as a professional would have cost. And I never worked for a newspaper, which is the way professionals become professionals, I guess. But I did, apparently, did a good job, and I publicized it on an international scale. I got releases all around the world. I started by doing public relations as a volunteer for the Associated Artists. And then everything I did it for the Society of Sculptors, then WQED was next, and a friend of mine whose husband was editor of the Sun-Kelly, the Sun newspaper, called me one day and said, would you come down? I'm about to open an educational television station, and I need you to help me on public relations. So I went and did it as a volunteer, and I organized the public relations department with her, and did that on a voluntary basis, and then we started paying. And I left there to start Pittsburgh Plan for Art. Pittsburgh Plan for Art was by nature a public relations job. I was a paid executive there from the beginning, and the director was the Dean of College of Fine Arts. It was started with a Mellon grant. It was actually an educational program financed by a Mellon grant and a Rockefeller grant, because the idea behind it was that if people lived with a work of art, they would learn to understand it and to appreciate it. So we lent paintings, and the Mellon and Rockefeller monies paid the artists a rental fee, and people could borrow paintings free of charge. They lived with these paintings, and after a while I realized that this living with a painting, they learned to understand that painting, but not all paintings. So then we started a course, How to Look at Modern Art, and we had a professor from Carnegie Tech came and used the textbook by Catherine Coo, and it was a 10 or 12 week course, and when they finished that, they wanted more, so the teacher developed a graduate course, and then they wanted more, so we took them to New York on a tour, and went into studios and galleries. The teacher went along with us, and we lived on for a weekend. And then they wanted more, so we went into collectors' homes and discussed the art on the walls. Now Pittsburgh Plan for Art, I had hepatitis 5 years after I started it, and hadn't stopped, so that was that. And Becky Berman took my job. She had been substituting while I was staying. And she's done a fine job, and art is beginning to pay at Pittsburgh Plan for Art. It is no longer educational, but the need has been for that kind of thing.
What year was that from?
1955. And I stayed with it until 1960. And I gave it what it needed and what it, I could give it, and then I felt I was a little stale anyway. And I was an innovator, you know. I liked to start projects. It was always a challenge to get something started, and then I would turn it over to somebody who could carry it.
Did you have any training for doing public relations, or did you just
No, as I said, some of the pros really resented me going to Carnegie Museum and doing the job that they wanted to do, because I was underpaid and did it because I enjoyed it. And I was taking the job away from a pro who once felt that I wasn't capable of doing it, I guess, but I, apparently I did all right.
Now, after the Pittsburgh plan for art, what else did you, what did you do professionally?
Then I got, well, then we were in the 60s, and I was sick. Well, then that was when I did the public relations for the International Conference. Gordon Washburn called one day and said, I know you've been very sick for a year, but I'd like to talk to you about something. Will you come down? And I said, well, I guess I could come down, but for not for long, because I'm so weak in the knees. And he said, we want you to do the public relations on this big exhibition. And I said, oh, I can't possibly. And he said, I want to show you something. And he took me into the gallery, and there was a painting that had just arrived from Europe for the show. And he knew, he was a smart man, he knew I was, you know, he said, just come and sit at the desk and handle it. And I did, and I worked with the wheelchair. The critics came from out of town.